Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you open up your bulletins, you'll find the sermon notes, which will help guide our conversation that we're having this morning. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about making a real difference this year in your faith journey. Not just kind of going through the motions and just kind of hoping that things will get better, but it requires us to set our priorities of saying, putting first things first, about recognizing what God is doing and choosing to walk a certain path. That means making some decisions about what is really important. And if you want this year to be better, if you want it to be different, if you want to have a deeper relationship with God, it means setting aside some time. It means making some choices. And so we're talking about this morning about how many of you feel that your life is blessed? Okay, most of us. Most of us would, right? And yet there's a strange phenomena that happens with us. Isn't it true? Haven't you noticed it? We start each Sunday and we said, I'm glad that you're here this morning. Tell me how your life is blessed. Oh, wow. And then what happens is everybody starts looking at their shoes and going, I can't think of something. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you really blessed? Do you recognize that your life is blessed? And we said, if we want to have a life that is blessed, well, we have to recognize it, but there's something else that has to happen in order for us to have what Jesus promised. Jesus came and he said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. He's talking about a blessed life. He's not just talking about a successful life. He's talking about a blessed life, and they're different. And sometimes if we're not aware of our blessings, then we are actually living a successful life. We're going to talk about the difference and how Jesus is asking us to draw away from all of the routines and see our lives through different lens. So what does it mean to live a blessed life? And we've talked about setting our priorities. And the first thing that has to happen is we have to recognize, and we've been talking about this, that if you want your life to have meaning or have a richness to it, we have to recognize that it begins with God. It's that first step. Can we go to the next slide? Josh? Can we go to the next slide, please?
Oh, yeah, sure.
There we go. Thanks. Can we go to the next one? There we go. It begins with God, right? We recognize that God has the path that lies before us. That means there's something that is dissettled or uncomfortable about the life that you currently have. That there's something more that you feel, it's almost like having a hunger for something that is deeper, a longing that food or prosperity will not satisfy. It begins with God. We said, but once we recognize that we're walking a different path, we have to choose to belong to Christ and his church. It's within community that we begin to flourish, that we begin to draw out of others a relationship that is deep and meaningful. And out of that sense of belonging, we recognize that we are becoming fully Christian. We're becoming fully Christian. We recognize that we're maturing. We're learning about ourselves. It's the spiritual gifts of patience and kindness, gentleness, forgiveness, humility. We recognize that these are beginning to grow in us. But if we were to stop right now, we would be doomed to failure. Because right now, everything that we've been talking about is about us. This is what is in it for us. And yet Scripture, throughout Scripture, there is a phrase that, especially in the New Testament, that is repeated over and over again, As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, over 66 times, the phrase, so that you may, is used throughout the New Testament. That something is happening. Jesus has come in and taught so that you may. There is an outcome that is as a part of this, that all of this is not just about you, but that God is wanting to use you to transform the world. In the New Testament, Paul writes about spiritual things. In Romans chapter 15, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Spirit. So that you may overflow. There is a purpose to all of this. Talking about financially, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says, you will be enriched in every way. How many of you would like to be enriched in every way? Yeah, okay. You would be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There is a purpose to it, and it doesn't just stop with you. In terms of relationships, Paul writes, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So if we get to a place where we say we want to begin with God, we want to belong to Christ, and we want to grow and become fully Christian. We want to have the fullness of Christ so that you may, what? What? As we open up God's word this morning in Matthew chapter 5 and in Acts chapter 13, we're going to look at what it means to live a blessed life, a holy life, a consecrated life, a life that has meaning, that fulfills the question that God is asking of you today, so that you may what? Will you join with me as we center our lives on God's word and embrace it as our very own? This is God's word for my life. In this place and at this time, today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 5, beginning in the 13th verse. You are like salt for everyone on earth. But if salt no longer tastes like salt, how can it be make food salty? All it is good for is to be thrown out and walked on. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on the top of a hill cannot be hidden, and no one would light a lamp and put it under a clay pot. A lamp is placed on a lampstand where it can give light to everyone in the house. Make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and praise your Father in heaven. And now reading from Acts. The 13th chapter. The next Sabbath, almost everyone in town came to hear the message about the Lord. Now, when the Jewish people saw the crowds, they were very jealous. They insulted Paul and spoke against everything that he said. But Paul and Barnabas bravely said, "We had to tell God's message to you before we told it to anyone else. But you rejected the message. This proves that you don't deserve eternal life. Now we are going to the Gentiles. The Lord has given us the command. I have placed you here as a light for the Gentiles. You are to take the saving power of God to people everywhere on earth." This message made the Gentiles glad, and they praised what they had heard about the Lord. Everyone who had been chosen for eternal life put their faith in the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to grow in grace and to experience you anew. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our fortress and our redeemer. Amen. In Jesus' message, he comes to the believers, those that had been gathering around them, and he tells them two things about what is transpiring here, what Jesus is doing and what we're all about. He says, first of all, you are like salt. You are a seasoning. You are a flavoring additive. You, as salt, you get put into food and you release the flavors that are dormant there. You are like light. Light comes from a candle. It shines in dark places and it enables people to see what they were only able to imagine before or stumbled over in their ordinary life. He says, you are salt, but if you don't act like salt, then what good are you? You look like sand. You ought to be thrown out and trampled on. If you're like light, and yet you put it under a bucket, what's the point? Put the flame out. It's doing you no good. Now, Paul goes to the people in the towns that he visits, and the first thing that he does is he goes to the Jews, and he goes to the synagogues, and he shares what God is doing. That God is beginning to open the door to the entire world, welcoming them to himself, bringing them hope and light and joy. But the people at that time had really condensed, and they had kind of said, God is for the Jews are for the Jews, and everybody else is just kind of fuel for the fires of hell. We don't really care what's going to happen to them. They had kind of condensed into themselves. They'd taken all of the blessings, everything that God was trying to do, and they had kept it for themselves. And so Paul reminds them of a passage out of Jeremiah where God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to Israel, and he says, this was your mission. This is why you exist. I have placed you here as a light for the Gentiles. Your life was to be an example for everybody else. You are to take the saving power of God to the people everywhere on earth. I have blessed you with good things, peaceful things, meaning and purpose, in order that you could go out and be a blessing to others. So if you have a relationship with God that is growing, if you have decided, and that's a pretty big if you decided, I'm going to begin with God, and I'm going to belong to His church in order that I might become fully Christian, you must answer that question so that I can be a blessing to others. I can be a blessing to others, that God would work through me. You see, the flow of God's love doesn't stop at you. It flows through you. And there's that wonderful analogy about any stream that enters a lake. If that lake has no outlet, no flow, it quickly becomes stagnant and it dies. And you see that vividly in the Holy Land, where the water flows from Mount Hermon down into the Sea of Galilee that is vibrant and alive, and finally down the Jordan River, where it ends at the Dead Sea, where there is only death and decay. And the choice is really up to you. Where will God's blessings stop? Now, I want to try and give you some ideas about why you should choose to be a blessing in your life and why our church is alive with blessings, opportunities to let it flow through you. The first thing that I want you to know out of this passage is that blessings are an awakening. They awaken us to endless possibilities. See, one of the struggles is, if I come around and I said, how many of you feel blessed? And you say, I raise my hand. I say, okay, great, tell me about your blessings. And you kind of go, I don't know. A lot of times we don't recognize our blessings. We feel successful. We feel successful. That means that all that we have and all that we do is stuff that we've done for ourselves. Right? I mean, we have good homes, we have a lot of prosperity, we have a lot of, you're able to be here today, your health is good, and everything is prosperous. You have done a good job for yourself. That's success. A blessing is going under the skin and saying, you know, you're here because God is helping that heart pumping. You're not sitting there choosing that your heart keeps pumping. You lived, you happen to be born in this place and at this time in a unique situation that allowed you to be blessed. One of the things that we do that we reach out to our friends in Haiti is because we look at their situation. He said, but by the grace of God, there go I. That could have been me. And who would have helped me? We recognize that God is blessing us, working in our lives. So that when we see that things that only God can do in our lives in a day-to-day basis, we become truly blessed. You see, a blessing will awaken a question within your mind. You'll look at a blessing as it comes to you and you'll ask the question, why me? Why am I being so blessed? Why would God notice me? And it draws us into his presence. If your gifts, if all of the blessings that you have, and we recognize that we have many of them, if they're not awakening that question, drawing you into God's presence, then you're not really paying attention to the blessing, just the success. How many of you remember that old hymn? And I tried to find it. Unfortunately, it's not in our hymnal. Count your blessings. Do you have it? Well, thank you, Dee. You'll get to hear it in just a second. The words of the verse go, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count the ways that everything that you have, your health, the peace, the timing of who you have in your life is a blessing. It is a gift. It is an awakening. And so often we just take them all for granted and just assume that they will always be there. We learned this morning tragically of a friend of Jim Hostadel that died suddenly, and somebody said that he was just a couple years younger than I am. And you recognize on a day like today that the blessing of this day is a gift. Your presence here today is a gift. Are we willing to say thank you and recognize it and say, why me? The second thing that we recognize is that blessings reveal God's alternative. You see, we live in a society and in a culture that is incredibly competitive. We got to have more of everything in order to keep up with everybody else. New cell phones, new technology. A blessing is something only God will be able to give to you. It reminds us of a different purpose, that it's not all about me, that some things in life I need from God. It reminds us of a deeper community, that we're no longer living in competition with one another, but recognizing all of the joys that we're able to give freely and generously. And finally, it reminds us of a future. If we're being blessed by God, if you're sitting here this morning saying, I'm really being blessed by God, that's because he's got a plan for you. That the future is looking bright, whatever you may be going through. He's not given up on you. He's got a purpose for your life. Something that is unfolding in your life. There's an alternative that people need to hear. They need to see that blessing. If you're a disciple, how is the world going to know about the blessings of Christ unless you tell them? So that when we come in on a Sunday and we say, tell me about your blessings, we should be able to just fill up the entire hour of talking about our blessings and then say, now go out and tell the rest of the world, because they're skeptical. They don't believe that they exist anymore. It's an alternative reality that God is inviting us into. Paul, as a matter of fact, he said, the word came to you, the light of Christ came to you, Jews, but you chose not to share it. And so now it is going to the Gentiles, and they received it joyfully, and they praised God for what they had heard. Think about the years that we have had to celebrate the blessings of this place, the marriages, the communion services, the baptisms, the weddings, and even the funerals. That we've celebrated life together, and we've done it with gusto and with optimism and with hope. Now think about a world completely empty of those values. How empty it is. Think about the people that you work with or you see shopping that don't understand that that's really possible. You were blessed so that you would be a blessing to somebody. Blessings are an awakening. Blessings are an alternative. And finally, blessings are an affirmation. They are affirming. They're an encounter with God's amazing grace. You can't ask for them. You can't earn them. You can't say, I'd like this one and not that one. It is what God knows you need when you need it. It's the choice. It's the ability to say, I'm here. I'm drawing you to myself that you might know. But imagine a world or imagine a community or a state or a community that was so richly blessed, but they didn't know it. That's where Paul is. He's with the people that have been blessed with a heritage, with a relationship with God, and yet they refused to share it with anybody because they figured it was just for themselves. And Paul said, the very thing that you wanted for yourself is being taken from you. It was meant for the world, to go out to the world. And so here's the question. Are you blessed by Christ? Only to the extent that you're sharing that blessing. Only to the extent that it's going out. Only to the extent that it's flowing. And I'm so excited by what the church is doing today. By our outreaches with the food pantry and the clothes closet and the breakfast and with our Haiti mission. And we have people in Liberia even as we speak. It is flowing, and we want you to be a part of that. Experience the blessed life, a holy and a consecrated life. In your sermon notes, there's a prayer. I always thought it would be kind of interesting if you started each day by just thinking through this. Open my eyes, God, and help me to perceive what I have ignored, to uncover what I have forgotten, and to find what I have been searching for. Remind me that I don't have to journey far to discover something new, for miracles surround me. Blessings and holiness abound, and you are always near. Amen. If you want this year to be different than all other years, so that, you know, next January as we gather here, you kind of go, I don't know what happened to 2014. If you want to make a real difference, you have to look at the path God is setting before you. You have to belong to a group. You have to belong to a church that is doing something. And then you have to be intentional about becoming a learning of practicing those habits and that language that is unique to the kingdom so that you will be a blessing to the world. For you have been placed at this time to take that light to the Gentiles, to take that light to the world, that they may know what God has done in your life. I guarantee, if you had had a miracle in your life this week, and you have, if you had had a miracle that you said, I can't believe this, you would have been telling everybody. The problem is we become so jaded. We become so passive that we no longer just embrace the glory of each and every day. A sunrise or a sunset, a smile, a touch, a word of gentleness is the glory of God working through others to you. Begin with God, belong to Christ, become fully Christian, and then make sure you live the blessed life. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for all of the opportunities that you give to us, and we just pray that as a community, we will be able to live the blessed life by sharing the magnificence and wonder of your presence and your gifts. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.